630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Bob Murray has tendered his resignation as general manager of the Anaheim Ducks. The owners of the Ducks, Henry and Susan Samueli, wrote in a statement today, "First and foremost, we apologize on behalf of the organization to anyone affected by misconduct from Bob. We expect every member of our organization to be treated with respect and will not stand for abuse of any kind. Bob tendered his resignation this morning while also informing us of his decision to enter an alcohol abuse program. While we do not condone his conduct, we fully support his efforts to improve his physical and mental health by asking for help." Of course, yesterday, Murray was placed on administrative leave by the Ducks. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Oilers tomorrow at Boston. 3:30 face-off show, game at 5 here on 630 CHED. Elks Saturday afternoon, 12:30 countdown to kickoff. Kickoff at 2 as they start their odyssey against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Going on the road with the Elks, play-by-play voice Morley Scott. Morley, how are you doing?
I'm good, Reed. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I want to ask you something before we talk about the football and your road trip. Yeah. We got the Canadian soccer matches coming up Friday and Tuesday at Commonwealth Stadium. What is the most memorable or biggest international sporting event you have ever attended?
1972, I went to the Canada-Russia game at Maple Leaf Gardens in the in the Summit Series.
That
was the original, right? Way back when.
Yes. I'm trying to remember who. It was Winnipeg.
Russia won that one,
right?
I believe, as I recall. And I sat at Maple Leaf Gardens with cinder blocks against my back. We were in the very last row. I'm trying to think anything
so
else.
Your dad took you?
Actually, I went with my uncle. My dad wasn't much of a hockey fan, so I ended up going with my uncle, who got tickets from his office or something like that, as I recall. So
game two, Toronto. Now, Canada won that one 4-1, according to the.
Oh yeah, okay. That's a long time ago, man. Pretty foggy.
Well, it's okay. Well, they probably felt like they were. And then the next game was a tie, and then the final game in
Vancouver. Blasted in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, so it was 2-1 for the Soviets with one tie going back to Moscow. Well, that is pretty significant, though, just to be able to say you attended a game in that series.
I also was at when Universiad was here. I was at the Canada basketball game when they beat the U.S. when they beat Charles Barkley and company.
Charles Barkley, that's right.
He was.
Gerald
Dawkins, I think, was on that team too. So I was there for that.
Did Canada win gold, or was that
they did. No, that was
the United States got bronze. Yeah,
yeah. They ended up winning the gold medal. Eli Pasquale, I believe, was one of the front runners on that team. That was a long time
ago,
too.
That's right, but that was Barkley. Now, were you covering that, or were you as a fan?
I was covering it. I was actually a volunteer reporter at CJSR Radio at the University of Alberta at that time
career.
Awesome. Yeah. I got, there was like three of us, and we got free reign, three of us covering it for the university station, and we got free reign to go wherever we wanted throughout the whole university ad. So it was a lot of fun.
The names I know from that roster, the U.S. team, Charles Barkley, you mentioned Johnny Dawkins, right? Karl Malone, Ed Pinckney, Kevin Willis, I think I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
So there
and then
you
look
go.
At the names of the Canadian roster and go, how did they beat them?
Yeah. The leading scorer was Jay Humphries out of University of Colorado. I have to look up all of these. I'm sure most of them were at least drafted in the NBA if they didn't wind up playing, but not all the names ring up. But obviously, Karl Malone and Barkley, two legendary players. Interesting stuff. Okay. Johnny Dawkins out of Duke. Well, that's fun. That's a fun story, as opposed to Jack, who just got mad at me during the segment, which is typical. Anyway, I'm joking. I'm just giving Jack a hard time. So this must be, you used to do Oilers color commentary, so you had long road trips there. Certainly covering the Double E, this must be unprecedented.
Absolutely. Absolutely unprecedented. It happened back in the 50s where they had had a long road trip like this. It wasn't actually a road trip back in the 50s. It was just three games in about 8 days, I think it was, back then. So it's happened before, but not in modern times. Not in modern times at all. I mean, this is unprecedented. The physical play of football is so much, I think, at so much of another level than it was back then that it really takes its toll on players. And that's why they only play once a week on average, right, in all football. Whether it be the NFL, the CFL, you know, college, whatever. So it is unprecedented to play three games in 7 days. But part of it is obviously it's because of the COVID situation back in August, and the players want to get paid for that game, right? So both the Argos and the Elks team voted in favor of playing this game in the middle of these other games. So they're going to go ahead and play it, and it ends up being three games in 7 nights, which is just an incredible strain, I think, on the players, obviously, but also on the coaching staff to get game plans and prep together, on the trainers to make sure all the equipment gets moved around and gets in place where it needs to be, on everybody involved with the team. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a very difficult week for sure.
I've seen the injury report. I heard Brendan Escott talking about it. It sounds like we're going to learn some new names on Saturday and in the subsequent games.
I think there'll be some new names, or some, not necessarily new names, but some guys who have been around but haven't played a lot, especially in the receiving core, because the Elks will be without, looks like, their top three receivers, and Greg Ellingson, Darrell Walker, and Mike Jones got injured last week. The first two missed the game last week. Jones got injured in the game last week, and that was an awful looking knee injury, and it looks like he'll be out long term. So the Elks offense, and still no James Wilder Jr., limited today, and didn't see much of him near the end of practice. Same thing with Walker. So I don't think that any of those guys are going to be in the lineup. So pretty much your top four weapons offensively will not be playing in the game on Saturday. And if you miss Saturday, it's only 3 days later you play again, so there's not a lot more time to get ready to play. So I don't know if we'll see those guys in the first two games on this trip. Maybe we won't see them again the rest of this season. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, yeah, tough finish here for the Elks. Tough finish to a tough season, obviously. What are you doing here? You're doing something a little special. What are these postcards you're working on?
Well, I just thought I'd do something different because of the situation with the team and this being an unprecedented trip. So I'm just going to snap a lot of photos, and we're going to put them up on the website and on the 630 Chet Instagram page. Just some behind-the-scenes things that I see, and just some pictures from wherever I am, be it in airports, restaurants, hotels, stadiums, just walking out in the park, whatever the case may be. If I see something interesting, I'm going to take a picture of it and maybe a little explanation, and we'll put it up on the website so people can kind of get a look behind the curtain a bit and see what it's like to be on the road for this long with a football team. Like you said earlier, it happens a lot with hockey teams. It's no big deal for a hockey team to go out in a three-game road trip, but it's a really big deal for a football team to do it.
Are you packed?
I haven't yet, actually. My flight's at noon tomorrow, so I'll probably pack in the morning. But I have made sure that some clothing gets laundered this week, and it's ready to pack tomorrow. So I will be jamming everything in the suitcase in the duffel bag tomorrow to leave. It's different because it's weird because Regina's going to be cold. Toronto's going to be iffy, and then you're going to Vancouver where it could be warm or could be raining. You don't know. So you got to pack. We got to pack all sorts of things for this trip.
Well, as long as you're laundering clothes and not money, just keep it that way.
Indeed, in the right side of the law, my friend, got to stay on the right side of the law.
Well, have a good trip. Have a good broadcast. Of course, we'll see how it goes here for the Elks. 3 games in 7 days, starting on Saturday. I'm sure we'll talk to you while you're on the road, Morley. Appreciate you checking in.
Always available for you, Reed, anytime, and always nice to hear your voice.
That is the one and only Morley Scott, play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Elks here on 630 Ched, who are obviously playing out the string. And I didn't really get to see a lot of their game on Friday because I was covering the Oilers-Rangers game. I mean, the Elks did make a rally in the fourth quarter, but as usual, they were coming from behind and lost by 2 points to Saskatchewan. As I've said a few times, for me now with the Elks, the playoffs are... I mean, even before they were mathematically eliminated, the playoffs were pretty much out of the question. So I'm looking at individuals who might be talented enough that you hope they can stick around for next year. And then once the season is over, what might we see for changes in the front office and with the coaching staff? I think that's going to be a significant story as well. 7:15. We've been talking about Mexico because Canada plays them in soccer. And, Brazil is a soccer powerhouse. Mexico and Brazil curling? What are you talking about? Well, you'll find out. Oilers coach Dave Tippett looking for the team to bounce back from last night's loss.
Well, we know we can play better than we did last night. We didn't start the game very well, and you know, we put a little push at the end. But coming on this trip, this is an important trip for us. We got to find a way to find some points, and more than that is if you play the right way, we can find ways to win. And when we don't start very well, get behind the eight ball is not a recipe for winning on the road. So we'll. You know, we've been pretty good the first periods this year. Last game just wasn't, we made some, I think there are just errors you can't make going on starting a trip on the road. So made some of those errors. If we can take some of those out, we'll start better and we'll see where it goes.
At Boston tomorrow, 3:30 faceoff show here on 6:30 Ched. The game will start at 5. Want to take you to the pebbled ice here quickly. Reigning Brier champion skip Brendan Botcher, Edmonton's own, is on the line. Brendan, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks, Reed.
Well, it's always great to talk to you. And I know you're incredibly busy at this time of year and you got a big event coming up, which I want to talk to you about. But you did something a couple of weeks ago that I had no idea you or any Canadian team would ever do. Why were you playing matches against Mexico and Brazil in curling?
So that's an event that's been around for a while, and it only pops up when the World Championship is down in the States. So because the States are the home team, they get a team directly in, and Canada, in theory, has to win the rest of the Americas to get that second team from the Americas into the World Championship. So there have been years where Canada has been unchallenged and we've just had a direct entry, and there have been years where Canada's had to play. And I think it's great. So I think it's great that there's other associations like Mexico and Brazil that are putting together teams that are trying to grow the sport. That's awesome for us moving forward. At the flip side, it was good practice for us. It got us out playing some reasonably competitive games in a low pressure, but still kind of high pressure situation. There was definitely some pressure there for us to take care of business. And it's always nice to put the maple leaf on your back, and it was an opportunity to do that. So it was an interesting weekend. We took care of business as we needed to, and I was definitely happy we could qualify Canada for the World Championship.
So how competitive were those nations, which I certainly do not associate with curling, and I'm sure many people listening wouldn't either? How competitive were they?
Well, they're both pretty new in their development of curling. So I don't believe, and I could be corrected on this, but I don't think they have dedicated ice in either of those countries. I think they have arena hockey ice that's rented out a few times a week to their curling association. So really the quality of what they're able to play on and practice on is quite low. Both of the teams were comprised of expats from both of those countries. So all the athletes actually lived either in the States or in Canada. They just happened to hold passports from the country they were representing. It's quite common in sport. But that was how both of these two teams were formed. So the Brazil team, I think 3/4 of them were from Quebec. So they would have access to reasonably good practice ice in Quebec and, you know, as much competition as they want. And they were definitely coming there looking to see if they could push Canada a little bit. I think that's always the goal of some of these associations. You know, if they could ever beat Canada, it would be the Super Bowl. So it's a little tough on the dynamic when we're going into games expecting to win, expecting to do well. And you have a team on the other side that if they could ever beat you, that would make their career.
Interesting stuff. Okay, so you did what you needed to do there. Now, coming up next Saturday, one of, and I know there are a lot of them, but one of the highest pressure events in curling. Obviously, I watched the Brier. I've watched Worlds. Those are so tense. But there is something about the Olympic trials, Brendan. You know, these great Canadian teams fighting to represent Canada. not just on the world stage, on the Olympic stage. You played in them in 2017. Does it feel differently to you than some of the other events you've been in?
For sure. I think like a lot of sports, the Olympics is kind of the pinnacle. And then on top of that, it's once every 4 years. So you look in your whole career in curling and you might have a reasonable chance where you're playing your absolute best. And you might only get a couple of those cracks in your whole career. And I think that dynamic is a little unique. And that's why you see that extra little bit of pressure out there. You know, there's always another Breyer next year, as we learned more than most, you know. And losing the trials or having a subpar performance, you've got to sit on that for 4 years and you've got to stew on that and you've got to try and get up again 4 years from now and try and be a little bit better. So I think that's why you see that extra bit of pressure. I'm expecting this year to be the same. The quality of curling should be just outstanding.
When will you guys head out there?
We head out next Thursday, and then we have some practice on Friday, and then we kick it off on Saturday. So it's all going to come up pretty quick.
Okay. Well, it's going to be awesome watching you guys in that. Just looking over the field, I mean, it's pretty much a who's who of Canadian curling. But I know you're used to facing the highest caliber competition week after week throughout the year. So we wish you all the best, Brendan. Of course, we'll be talking to you after, and go get it, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Reed.
Reigning Breyer champ Brendan Botcher checking in on Inside Sports. Okay, what's it like to play before 50,000 fans at Commonwealth Stadium for your country in a soccer match? The current Canadian team is going to live that coming up Friday and Tuesday. Craig Forrest lived that when he was the goalkeeper for the Canadian team. He is up next.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.